This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, cat lovers. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Byrne. So, what is it with cats and cocktails? They kind of go together. And I've met people that have cat shows and then they have cat cocktail hours. And this has happened a lot. But I haven't seen too many of what we have today. My guest wrote the coolest book about cocktails. Yes, there's such a thing. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Jay Catsby, a.k.a. Mark Davison, who is the author of Shaken, Not Purred. Welcome, Mark, or should I call you Jay?
Mark is fantastic. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Mark is fine. Okay. You wrote this really cool book. It's cocktail size, which means it's a small enough size to hide behind your bar, but why would you? Because it's a gorgeous cover. And it's kitty-themed cocktails for cat lovers. Why did you write the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me, cats has always been, I love cats. I've had cats. I looked after lots of friends' cats. And as when I was growing up, it was always, there's something just about having, like, I guess, a really weird guy in your house just doing crazy stuff. And it's very highly entertaining. I have also worked previously as a writer in the drinks industry and in advertising. And I guess this was an opportunity for me to combine, I don't want to say two of my biggest passions, because that makes me sound a little bit like I might have an issue when it comes to cocktails, but definitely two things that I really love. And the third being great puns as well.
I mean, do you think there's truth to this? I think there's something with cats and cocktails, because I've never seen a book with dogs and cocktails, or a book that talks about, you know, let's have dog happy hour. Right? Have you ever? I've never seen that, but I've seen cats and cocktails. Not a lot, but a few times to where I think it's a thing.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I think maybe it's something about the people who love cats, the people who just get it, you know, when it comes to cats. If you're a cat lover, I think it's a big part of your personality. You're looking for them to go together. Maybe it's also something about just like that idea of chilling at home with your furry friends, or just something about like that idea of just being relaxed and vibing and having a nice time, which makes it work so well together.
Yep. And other than the elephant in the room, people would have cats. We need to have a lot of drinks. So because we don't understand our cats, because they are perplexing in the best possible way. No, I know it doesn't mean anything like that. So, okay. So yeah. Let's talk about, you know, you said you wrote in the industry before, and you have a lot of different, and as you call them, cat tales. And we're going to get into the book, but what makes you an expert in cat tales?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I mean, I guess I wouldn't want to claim any sort of like cocktail knowledge, like cocktail expertise. There's a lot of people who are a lot more knowledgeable when it comes to like cocktails. And I drew from a lot of kind of great recipes and examples and knowledge from amazing other kind of bartenders and mixologists when I was creating these recipes. you know, I've been lucky enough to work with some great brands in my experience, work with people like Hendrix Gidrin and Discarded and Aperol and Campari and some beer and some other different types of booze brands. So I feel like, you know, while also being a bit of a connoisseur is maybe a bit of a strong word, but, you know, a lover of different types of cocktails. And so I think that when combined with just, you know, a deep appreciation for all things like Slightly Mad and Furry made me, you know, maybe put me in a great position to be able to write the book.
Okay, thanks. Now, it's talking about the book. So it's not just for all of our listeners. It's not just a book that talks about different cattails, such as some are similar names to stuff that already exists out there, like Meowtini. But then there's some that have their own names, like Orangey's White Angel. And then there's a lot of trivia, too. So it's a great book to have. And it's a great book for any cat lover, or a gift for a cat lover, or if you like drinks and you know, want to have a cat, but you don't have one yet. Or even if you don't have a cat, but you're listening to Catitude anyways, and you want to have a cocktail. So you talk about the intro and you talk about, you know, how to use the book, which is, you know, you can go to sections or what have you. And you also bring up, you know, equipment, glassware, some key ingredients that you should have, and then some pro tips. So what was your point in getting all of this, you know, rather than just start with drinks, why did you put up the various sections? I mean, it's almost like reminds me of kind of a cookbook, because in cookbooks, good cookbooks, they'll usually say, these are the ingredients you have. This was what you should have on hand. These are your basics for your pantry. Was it that kind of the direction you were going in?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, there's two things that I really was thinking about when I was writing those sections. I mean, I guess I wanted to be able to unlock and allow, you know, anyone with any sort of experience to enjoy the recipes. I think there's kind of misconceptions or fears around this idea that you know, cocktails are either for something that you have at a bar with an expert who's got, you know, 400 different bottles of liqueurs and types of spirits and mixers and things, and you have to have that to get started. And that's just not true. You know, like anything, there's, you know, there are people who are going to want to collect a massive collection of different types of drinks and want to drink anything. But actually, if you have a taste for something and say you're a martini lover or a margarita lover, or even like a whiskey lover, you love an old fashioned, then there's definitely like easy ways to get started. I also just wanted to unlock some of the, I guess, you know, best tips and best advice for people that I hoped would make their life a little bit simpler and a little bit easier when they were making these. And that was kind of the thought behind some of those pro tips. I guess there's a lot of unwritten rules, or maybe even written rules, when it comes to like making drinks. And, you know, I guess the point that I was trying to make here is that while, you know, certain different types of glassware or certain different types of ice are going to affect the drink that you're making, the reality is that, like, so long as you're enjoying it, you're doing it right. And ideally, if you've got a cat with you, then you're doing it even better.
The pro tips are pretty good. Some are, you know, more obvious than others, but two of them that I think are really interesting. And one, I think unless you've spent some time working in a restaurant, you know, waiting for the bartender to make your drink, maybe a cocktail or a server. And I have done that way back.
Yeah, as have I.
Right. So because with the one that you talk about, layering cocktails, yeah, that's really cool to watch. And the fact that how you explained it, you know, because they use a spoon and it just goes over the spoon and it goes by the, we're going to get into chemistry here, which is not my thing, but
yeah,
it goes with the, you know, the weight of the ingredients of the,
yeah, exactly,
the something naturally layer, not. And then the other one that I like, because this is what I do, that coming unstuck, the cocktail shaker
yeah,
sometimes sticks together and you put it here. Don't bang it against something. Yeah, see, that's what I do with my mouse when my computer doesn't work, which I've gotten better, but it has nothing to, one does nothing to do with the other. There's a lot of good tips. So let's go to the trivia, because you have interesting trivia sprinkled in with all of the different beverages. You even have a beverage for Grumpy Cat.
I mean, he's a classic. You can't be ignored.
But he's iconic.
Exactly.
And I believe he's since passed on.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. But you have, you know, a drink named after him. I like the one that is under Tittles, because who knew? So you were talked about like Navy Strength rum.
Yeah. Yeah, so the idea was actually, I mean, one of the great things about writing this book or getting to do any serious project like this is that actually you get a fantastic opportunity to educate yourself about all these topics and learn so many things that I didn't know. And Navy Strength rum actually comes from back in, shall we say, the kind of more colonial days of the British Empire, when part of the ration that that sailors would get as part of their pay was actually a mandatory rum allowance every day. Surprise allowing. And the rum, because it was such a kind of prized asset, was stored with the gunpowder in the vessels in the boats. And obviously what problem there is that if you get into a fight and someone has spilt rum all over your gunpowder, doesn't work, you're in a little bit of a pickle. And so actually Navy Strength rum basically means that rum is a certain proof, so it's over 54 ABV. And what that means is that if it is spilled over gunpowder, the gunpowder actually still light on fire when you're lighting it, which is a really fun fact that I learned that I didn't know about rum before writing the book. And that inspired the cocktail Tittles, as you mentioned. And Tittles is actually named after a lot of the cats that were and still are on the Royal Navy aircraft carriers. And, you know, the Royal Navy has had a pretty long-standing history with cats because mice and rats are such an issue at sea. You want to keep your stocks. And so cats provided a really valuable service of helping to keep those less wanted pests at bay, shall we say.
Yep. And that's a lot of the reasons why cats were brought over to places where they were brought, you know, from the UK coming to the US, there were mousers.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. Let's see, we're almost up for a break here. So let's take a break and we're going to talk more about how some drinks match to cats and how some breeds match to drinks, because I think that's really interesting. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, pet parents. Ever wondered how to safely bring the great outdoors inside and connect your indoor pets with nature? Meet Pet Greens, the pioneers in organic live cat grass, catnip, and treats powered with green nutrition. Discover the healing properties of wheatgrass, packed with nutrients and gentle green fiber to support digestive health. Pet Greens helps your pets truly thrive inside. Check out our full range of live cat grass, catnip, and treats at petgreens.com. That's petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Mark Davison, the author of Shaken, Not Purred. And, you know, it's about cocktails, you know. And there's some mocktails in there, too. And a lot of great trivia and information. So, Mark, you have the book set up so that it's by different sections. So you have classic cocktails, some fizzy ones, some sourpuss ones. Then you have some that are more dedicated to breeds like long hair variety. And you have the, like, Meowita, and there's actually some exotic breeds. How did you, like, winter and Maine Coon, a Scottish Fold, Cleocatra? How did you decide? Did you have a vision when you were looking at the picture, say, of a Maine Coon that, okay, they would look like this drink?
Different kind of drinks and the sections come from a kind of combination of things. The book is structured basically to make it as easy as possible for people to find the types of drink that they like. And also in terms of the structure, we work from, I guess, the simplest drinks to make, the classic cattails, which are basically all variations on an old fashioned and different types of that, through to your kind of short haired ones, your short cocktails, your sour cocktails or your sourpusses, which are cocktails that are made with citrus. And then you've got your long hair, so your longer cocktails, your Long Island iced teas, your the algoritas, sorry, not algorita, your having a brain fart here. Your feline coladas, your different drinks that are, they're a little bit longer. And then I generally tried to structure it so that the as you read on, the cocktails get a little bit more complicated and a little bit more challenging to make. So depending on your level or your experience or your desire to, you know, whether you wanted something simple and easy and quick, or whether you wanted something that required a little bit more prep, like one of my personal favorites, the Spicy Aztec, which requires basically steeping some different types of chilies in triple sec in order to get that kind of spicy margarita flavor. Depending on your aspirations for that, there were different types of cocktails that would suit different people.
So wait, which one was your favorite again?
I mean, I'm not sure I have a favorite, but Spicy Aztec is definitely one of my favorites. I am a big citrus lover, so anything margarita, Grumpy Cat, the Paloma is another one that I adore. Those are some of my personal favorites. If I'm looking for something more of like an after-dinner drink or an aperitif, then something like the Negroni, which is obviously a not-too-complicated version of the Negroni classic, very classic cocktail, is also fantastic as well, depending on what you like. But hopefully, you know, there's different versions of different drinks in there for everyone. And a lot of them are really fun if you like something a little more. I've tried to separate it so that there's if you are, you know, a whiskey lover or a gin lover or a tequila lover, there'll be a variation in each of the sections that hopefully you'll enjoy. And that was part of how I was trying to choose which drinks made it into the final version of the book. Because once you get started with cat puns, there turns out there's a lot.
It could be endless. You also have a great index in the back. So if people are, you know, just want a certain type of drink, or they're looking up, not all cat breeds are here, but there's quite a few of them. And you could actually look it up and say, okay, I'm going to have this. Oh, you even have one. How did I miss this one? Called Smelly Cat, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, Smelly Cat is a version of a dirty martini. I think obviously when I was writing, I wanted to, you had a question about what, where the different breeds came from and where the different drinks came from. And I've tried to do a variety of drinks that are based on like some of the common or well-known cat breeds, but also ones that are based on kind of interesting cat trivia, interesting cats that exist in culture, be that Grumpy Cat or some of Taylor Swift's cats make it into the podcast as well. So there's a variety of different types of like cats that are, we wanted to make sure that the famous Moggy's got a shout out as well.
Right. Like Gin Felix.
Yeah, that's a really nice one as well.
As we're talking about this, just as a caveat, I'm pretty sure 99% of everybody listening knows this. These are for humans. These are not for your cats. That because one never knows.
That is very true. Also, please enjoy responsibly and please only enjoy if you are of age. There are some mocktails in the back for those who would like a cattail but are not able to consume alcohol or don't want to consume alcohol.
Right. Now, there's something interesting in the back that you also put, Katarina's Dinner. So Cats and Cocktails, not Raven. So Edgar Allan Poe, is he the only author that you mention in this book?
No, he's not. There are a lot of famous authors, actually, who are big cat fans. Hemingway also makes it into the book with Nap in the Afternoon, which is a variation on one of his favorite cocktails, Death in the Afternoon.
Right. So authors that are known to be cat lovers.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And then there's so much trivia. And this is more of a book to go through versus not, you know, as you say in the sections, it's like a cookbook. It's not necessarily a read from front to back, but you go through and you just find information. So there's so much interesting trivia. What is a night on the catnip? There's some drinking games here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I wanted to, you know, make sure that people had a good occasion for drinking these cattails. And so I created what I think is a pretty entertaining little game for people to play. There's various rules for you to enjoy, shall we say, depending on how you want to play. And so the idea is that if you wanted to invite some friends around or, you know, a couple of buddies, then this could be something that would accompany a nice evening and, you know, maybe get you a little bit buzzed as well.
Okay. I really like the slow blink. There's different things with the slow blink. Like people say that's a way to tell your cat, you know, I love you or hi. And I've tried it. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. Basically, you look at your cat and you blink really slowly. And eventually, you know, after it might take a little bit of practice, but your cat will slow blink along with you.
Yeah, the idea being that obviously, you know, cats are predators, but also they're not necessarily the biggest predators. And so like closing your eyes, I guess, is like a sign of vulnerability. And so that's what at least what I've heard in terms of why it's a sign of affection or a kind of sign of endearment when you do it with your cats.
But for your drink, it means that it's actually player per player, but that's slow blink.
Yeah, exactly. The rule is that if you slow blink at someone and they don't return your affection, they don't slow blink at you back, then they should enjoy a sip of their drink because, you know, it's just not very polite, really, especially if you've invited them around to your house or, you know, shared some hospitality with them.
Okay, there are so many drinks on here. How many different drinks do you have in your book?
The 64 recipes.
That's quite a lot. And I love the illustrations as well.
Yeah, the shout out, the illustrator did a fantastic job. She worked really, really, really hard on everything, and I really appreciated all of her work. The illustrations just bring the whole thing together. And, you know, she has Instagram. You can have a check out her Instagram at, can I do a quick shout out for her? Is that all right?
Just another comment. Not only did you mention authors, but you mentioned a lot of different cat lovers. Like, who knew? I didn't know Albert Einstein was a big cat lover.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that in all these episodes of Catitude. How did I miss that? I knew Hemingway, you know, maybe because Einstein's, you know, everybody thinks of Einstein, physicist, and all that. They don't think of him as a cat person. But that was really interesting. I asked before, you have some favorites under citrus. Do you have any ideas for an accompany book for cooking? Is that not your thing?
No, that's a great question. I think cookbooks it would be an amazing project to take on. They're pretty in-depth. And obviously, I would want to, like, I'd have to have a look. We have got a lot more cattail recipes that I have that did make it into the book. And so if people enjoy this one and it does well, then potentially there could be a round two.
You know what? Maybe a compromise, bar snacks.
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent idea.
And then the drinks that didn't make it in.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Mark, I have a question for you. Why is a mint julep in a copper cup? If you know that, I've always wanted to know what that is. And then what drink do you think is the most challenging to make? It doesn't have to be the one with the most ingredients, but just that it's, I don't know, difficult for whatever reason. Maybe you don't like the smell of the alcohol or the ingredients or something.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to your mint julep question.
Okay, I'll keep pondering that.
But in terms of the, there's a couple which are, I would say, are a lot more complicated. There's some which require maybe a few kind of slightly exotic ingredients. The Abyssinian, for example, is based off, the cat comes from Ethiopia. And so that uses a ingredient called Tej. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it quite right, but hopefully. But that's basically a sweet honeyed wine. You can get replacements, and we list some of them in the book. But that's one where, you know, maybe you might have to go to a slightly funky store to try and find some of that. Probably the one that is more complicated and is every bartender's favorite one is our version of the espresso martini. We make a little bit of a joke. I make a little bit of a joke in the book about going to a bar and ordering six of these and seeing if the bartender, you know, talks to you ever again, because they very well may not. But that cat's actually based off my own cat, Massimo, and it was inspired by kind of his lovely eyes. So I wanted to make sure I did him justice and gave him a kind of really exciting cocktail at the end of the book to stand out with.
Well, thank you for that. And yes, I do recall those drinks, especially near working in restaurants. And then near the end of the night when you said, well, I need a bunch of these. And they're looking at me like, seriously, I washed some of my equipment. We've been slow for an hour. Now I have to make all these things. But I want to commend you. This is a great book. I've seen at least one of these in all the shows I've done on Catitude, but it was nowhere near as thorough or as interesting, not even close. This is a really great book for cat lovers, for anyone, even if you don't drink, because there's mocktails. So there's a lot of great information. Mark, where can people find the book?
Yeah, the book is available online. You can check out all of your normal local book sellers and available there, or in pretty much most bookstores, in decent-sized bookstores, you should be able to ask them and they will be able to get it in if they don't already have it.
All right, and it's called Shaken, Not Purred, and kitty-themed cocktails for cat lovers. Mark, thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me and letting me talk about Shaken, Not Purred.
I hope you all enjoyed this show. This is a really fun book. I highly recommend it. If you like cats, if you have cats, if you know have a friend that has cats, even if your friend is not crazy about cats, but they like a cocktail now and then, great, great book. Shaken, Not Purred. I want to thank my cat crew. Of course, they didn't drink with me, but they volleyed around while I was making drinks and, you know, gave them some of their cat treats. So thank you, cat team, which is Molly, Dennis, and Charlotte. Thank you so much to my Catitude audience for listening to Catitude so much. I so appreciate that. We are one of the most popular cat podcasts out there. So thank you. Again, thanks to Mark Davison for coming on the show. And of course, thank you so much to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making me and my guests sound amazing. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.